Three, two, one.
Welcome to It's Fabula!
True personal story.
It's Fabula!
It's Fabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
It's Fabula Radio Time on 89.7 WUWM during Lake Effect Weekend. Every weekend, I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney, Ex Fabula co-founder, is here as per usual. And every week we have a theme based on stories taken from Ex Fabula Story Slams of the past. And I'm just guessing maybe we got something about motorcycles? No.
No, we're on the Labor Day Express train this weekend for stories.
No surprise, Bruce is wrong again.
That's okay. Maybe next year.
Maybe next time.
Yep. The theme this week is all in a day's work.
That
you
fits.
Better work, yes. Bruce.
Yes, that fits.
Yes. So we just want to say hats off to all the union workers and those who have helped create safe working conditions that we all know and love today. So we do have a couple of fantastic stories from one of our fantastic themed Fantastic Story Slams. The theme of that Story Slam in November 2017 was work. But before we jump into that, we will be talking about our Season 10 Story Slams that are coming up momentarily. So if that's not a teaser, I don't know what is.
After this story, folks.
After this story, folks. So let's jump right in. Here's Karen Nelson with her work story.
It was 1994. I worked in the ER as a nurse. A little bit after lunch, a woman came frazzled up to the desk saying, "Help, help, I need some help. My uncle is very weak. I can't get him out of the car." So Terry, another nurse, and I grabbed a cart. We went out to the parking lot, reached in the car on the passenger side over the slumped over uncle who really wasn't weak. He appeared to be dead. So slid that over. We superhuman strength lifted him onto the cart, his arms open wide like Christ, and he took a gasp. We went racing into the break room. I mean, break room. Not the break room. We went to the big room, the trauma room we called. We have a code four, everybody. The team kind of came running in. I was in charge of the airway. Terry was putting him on the monitor. This is 1994, so the first priority is open the airway, give two breaths. I was trying to get the AMBU bag off the wall. We thought, well, maybe he's not dead. He took this giant gasp. I felt no breathing. I was trying to grab the AMBU bag. It would not come off the wall. So in the old days, you would pinch the nose and blow two breaths into the mouth. On my second breath, there was my neon green gum on his tongue. I'm like, oh my God. And Terry's like, what? I'm like, gum. She's like, was he chewing gum? I'm like, no. She's like, well, he's got gum in his mouth. I'm like, yes, it's mine. She's like, well, take it out and continue CPR. So on and on it goes. He was asystole. We went through, gave the epi, yada, 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 yada. You know, the guy didn't make, he was very old. And asystole is not a good sign. He was actually very sick. So the shift goes on. The person comes in. They got that look. I've got a tampon in that's been in there for days. So dealt with that. A person with chest pain. Towards the end of the shift, someone from sterile processing came up and says, hey, was that guy chewing gum? And at that time, I'm chewing gum again, and I'm thinking, I'm from a big family. I waste nothing. I know that gum still had flavor. Did I put it back in my mouth? I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, and Terry says, well, he had gum in his mouth, but it wasn't his. And the doctor looks and says, how did he have gum in his mouth? And she's like, Karen dropped her gum in his mouth. He's like, you idiot. No, he didn't really say you idiot, but his whole bald head got red and he bent over. And then I was like, is he gonna yell at me? Cause he's kind of an idiot. And then he laughed hysterically. But anyway, so the gum's out, yada. Oh, and I'm like thinking, Did I put the gum back in my mouth? Because I know it still had flavor. I just put it in before the code began. And I said, why? And he said, well, there was gum on the endotracheal tube. I'm like, oh, thank God it wasn't mine. So from the early 90s, things have changed where CPR, you don't emphasize blowing in their mouth as much. And I think I have part of that. So thank you very much.
And that was Kara Nelson.
You know, I couldn't help but laugh dropping her gum in the patient's throat. But those people that work in the emergency rooms and hospitals around the city, man, I admire them so much because they deal with everything from kidney stones to gunshot wounds on a daily basis, man.
And those EMTs, man, serious hats off to you. Man. I know the pay is not that great, and your dedication, I mean, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I have been, you know, in the emergency room a few times in my life, and, you know, those people do a fantastic job.
Thank you. Yes, thank you to everybody.
So, as we teased,
let me bring the surprise out to you. Our surprise is that we're back again for season 10.
That's no surprise.
Yeah, I know. Well, oh, thank you. We're actually flattered if you say that. We have a whole litany of new story slams coming at you and special projects and special secret fabula sessions and storytelling workshops and all that. So we have a story slam coming up. It's on September 14th. It's a Friday night. That's right, folks. We are having slams on Friday nights now. Look at us.
Yes, better than Monday night or Tuesday night.
Hey, man, we're doing it all week. We want to make sure that it is as inclusive as possible. So on Friday, September 14th, the theme is Generations, and that'll be at our favorite Garfield's 502, which was just featured on Milwaukee.com as a hidden gem. And my goodness, yes, get to it. Fabulous food, people, yum.
If you haven't been there, here's a good excuse.
Yeah, right? And then we also have a general public storytelling workshop that's going to happen on Saturday, September 9th at Collectivo on Humboldt. So let's move right into our second and last story of the day. Here's one from Weston Meyer and his work story.
So I need to start off with an apology. I've lied to you all. I've come up here under false pretenses. This is not a story about work. Hold on. This is a story about school, but that's as close as I've gotten, so give me a break here. Plus, the last 2 years of medical school really are work, with one minor exception. You don't get paid. You're, in fact, paying. but in the first 2 years of medical school are, you know, like college plus. It's more lectures, more tests, more books. It's everything that an insufferable type A perfectionist is already used to. But at the beginning of your third year of medical school, you get thrown into a hospital, and it is sink or swim. It's fake it till you make it. It is a frightening time, and it is a magical time, because that is when you find out what you really want to do as a doctor. Everyone comes into medical school saying, I'm going to be a cardiologist, I'm going to be a neurologist, but it's not until you get into your third and fourth years, your rotations, and you see the reality of it, and that's what sells it to you. So many people do a complete 180 once they really see what the life is like. So it's a very formative time. But one of the ways in that it's most formative is not necessarily figuring out what you want to do, but figuring out what you don't want to do. And I knew from the start that I didn't want to do surgery. But you have to take a surgery rotation. So I signed up for it first. My very first rotation, day one, I'm in the operating room. A little frightening. It was terrifying. It was 8 weeks of constant terror. but I was fortunate enough that I ended up working my surgery rotation at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And there's something magical working about kids. I still didn't like the surgery, but it was cool enough because it was all novel, everything's new, and the kids were just so cute, right? And so one day I'm working my very first overnight shift. I'm going to be there until, you know, like 11 the next morning. I'm overnight with my resident, and in the middle of the night in comes this darling 7-year-old girl, and she is like doubled over in pain. And she is just not feeling well. So my resident and I, we get called down to the emergency room to see her, to evaluate her for maybe it's appendicitis, right? So we go down and, you know, we talk to her, we get the history, right? And we call up, you know, our attending, who is a woman about half my size and terrifies me to this day. It is incredibly smart. And we call her down, we say, you know, we give her the story, and we're like, we don't think it's appendicitis. And she says, whoa, wait. She comes in with pain here. She's not eating. She's throwing up. She has a fever, and her white blood cell count is elevated. And you're telling me she doesn't have appendicitis? And then my resident and I kind of look at each other, and I go, well, when you put it that way. So sheepishly, we end up taking her to the operating room that night. And you'll be happy to know that they don't let the medical students operate. But I did get to pilot the laparoscopic camera used, you know, to see inside for the laparoscopic surgeries. And so I got to, you know, take this girl's history in the emergency room. I contributed, to the surgery. I got to take pictures that I showed her later. I stole an EKG from a very reluctant emergency room physician when she passed out later, and I wanted to make sure her heart was okay. And 2 days later, I'm working during the day, and she's gonna go home. She had her surgery, it went great. She is 100% better. And so I go into the room to tell her the good news. Like, you can go home now. And this little girl who has like been healthy her entire life and then just went through like probably the most traumatic 2 days of like pain and fear and surgery, she comes up to me, hugs me around the legs, looks up with these like big deer eyes, and then turns back to her parents and says, can't we stay one more day? That's when I decided on pediatrics. Thanks.
That was Monsieur Weston Meyer with his story.
That is such a cute
and touching
story. That the reason why he chose pediatrics. You just want to go, oh, what
right.
It's done.
Right. And that's what we want to do. We want to give everybody a good hug after they leave a story slam. So with that being said, everything story related is at exfabula.org, but get your tickets in advance for our very first story slam of season 10. It is Generations. Get that story together, Milwaukee. Get your tickets online and get thee to thine. Garfield's 502. I think I messed that up somehow, but you get my drift,
close,
right?
Close enough. Can you tell she's a bit excited, folks, about the next season coming up? Just a little bit. If you want to hear today's stories again, or maybe share them with others, look at the pictures of the storytellers. You'll find that at wuwm.com. And until next week.
Until next week, sir.
Boom.